Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 18 to chapter 12, verse 6. It's unfortunate that they had a chapter break there because that section is just one section. God's instruction to his persecuted servant. When God's servant disciples others, his ministry will necessarily expose sin in his hearers. We know that because in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says that the word of God is valuable for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, okay? Reproof means exposing sin. But John 15, 18 to 20 reveals that that will lead to unreceptive hearers persecuting God's servant. When you're involved in a ministry, any kind of a ministry where you're teaching or presenting the word of God and it exposes sin, you always run the risk of someone who has their sin exposed by the word not liking it. Well, when they don't like it, they react against it defensively. And when they act defensively against it, they often will persecute the one who is teaching them. That could be in a Sunday school class, could be a pastoral ministry, it could be when you're seeking to disciple somebody in a home Bible study, that kind of a thing. Well, God's servant needs insight then in dealing with this persecution. And Jeremiah 11, 18 to 12, 6 gives it as follows. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 11, beginning of verse 18 and going to 12, verse 6. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedst me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the kidneys, literally, or the emotional part of the body and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that's Jeremiah's hometown, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring calamity upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they've taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their hearts or the range of the kidneys. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The animals are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If in the land of peace where thou and thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling or the thickets of the Jordan? For even your brethren and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Okay, some of this has to be clarified, but it's a remarkable passage of Scripture. When God informed Jeremiah of a plot by his hearers to kill him, he asked God for vengeance. Jeremiah related how the Lord informed him by a plot of a plot by his hearers against him. They planned to kill Jeremiah, who's likened to a tree, so that his words, likened to the fruit of the tree, would be stopped, and that even the memory of Jeremiah would perish with his demise. Now, upon learning of this plot, Jeremiah prayed to the Lord, addressing him as the Almighty Lord who had the power to punish his foes, who judged righteously and who tested the heart and the mind. He asked that his great fair God take vengeance for him on his foes, for he was innocent. Well, God answered Jeremiah by promising to slay his enemies in the Babylonian invasion, in other words, in the future. The men of Jeremiah's hometown, of fellow priests at Anathoth, were those who had conspired to kill him. Let's just stop there and think about that. The priests. This is a town of priests. Jeremiah comes from a town of priests. This town of priests had conspired to murder him, a fellow priest, because he was a messenger of the Lord. Wow. That's apostasy gone full blown. The priests were supposed to be like pastors. It was supposed to be like a group of pastors getting together to murder another pastor because they don't like his preaching. That's pretty heavy. That would be kind of unthinkable in our day. But that's exactly what's going on. We don't like it, so we're going to kill him. Wow. Well, and when they knew that Jeremiah had learned of their plot, they told him not to prophesy in the name of the Lord or they would kill him. They came right out when he found out about it. Don't prophesy anymore in the name of the Lord or we're going to kill you. You know, point blank, just like that. Well, the Lord answered Jeremiah's prayer for vengeance, promising to punish the men of Anathoth. The young men would die by the sword. Their sons and daughters would perish by famine so that even a remnant would not survive. At the time of punishment, the coming Babylonian invasion, God would arrange for all the people of Anathoth to die. What's interesting is that there's a photograph in Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible. If you look under Volume 1, under the entry Anathoth, all right, and they have a photograph of the town. And what's left is a hill that the town sat upon and a whole bunch of rubble. That's it. Nothing else. It was flat, leveled, and there's no village there today. It's called Tel Anat. Tel means the Hebrew word for hill, or the hill of Anath, or Anathoth. So, the Lord fulfilled that. When the Babylonians came through, for some reason, they clobbered the town. They leveled it. They killed the young men, and then the children and the daughters and so forth died of famine. Everybody in that town died. They took no prisoners. No prisoners were taken. However, Jeremiah was bothered because the ungodly persecutors temporarily prospered. So he asked God why he allowed his ungodly persecutors to prosper before the Lord punished him. This is an age-old question. Why do the righteous suffer? And why do the wicked prosper? Why does God seem to almost pamper them, you know, in comparison to the righteous? Well, Jeremiah respectfully acknowledged that God was always upright whenever he brought his case to him. Yet he asked why God let wicked hypocrites prosper, why he did not quickly drag them off like sheep to be slaughtered and butchered. He asked how long the land and the animals had to suffer God's temporal discipline where the righteous lived. He did this through, you know, stopping the rain and so forth, so it became a hardship on people. While the wicked even claimed that God would not see what happened to them because he was indifferent to their sin. In other words, the wicked were saying in the midst of this, even though God is withholding his rain and the land and the animals and the righteous were suffering, the wicked were saying, well, God's not going to pay attention to our end. Our sin's not a big deal to him. Yeah, it's just, yeah. Jeremiah's just, he's just spouting off. You know, that's his view. That's his political view. Let him talk. He's just spouting, but it's not much. Don't pay attention to it. So God replied by addressing what was behind Jeremiah's complaint about the temporal blessing of the wicked. His hurt and frustration caused by his naively entrusting himself to those who persecuted him. This hits at the real core of a lot of the needs of people who are persecuted. If you're facing persecution and you're feeling frustration and hurt, there's a problem. Your reaction is showing. There's an old book that a radio Bible class used to put out entitled Your Reactions Are Showing. It's a great little booklet. We used to have a whole box of them up in the attic somewhere. I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, they might have gotten thrown out. I don't know. Or someone might have taken them and dispersed them. Great little book. Your reactions to that which is wrong is a tremendous revelation of your heart. God responded to Jeremiah's question by asking him two figurative questions. If he had raced with men on foot and they had tired him, how would he compete with horses? If he had stumbled in a safe land, how would he traverse the thick thickets of the Jordan lowland? In other words, you think this is bad, wait till the going gets tough, Jeremiah. It hasn't gotten tough yet. So if he had stumbled in a safe land, look out. If Jeremiah found it hard to handle his foes from what he had already known about their plots against him, how would he handle learning about even more wicked efforts by them against him? See, God hadn't told Jeremiah everything. He told them about this plot against him, but it's even worse than that. Specifically, God added that even Jeremiah's own family had betrayed him, raising a loud cry against him, calling for his death. How would Jeremiah handle this new update about his foes? Can you imagine that? Your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, they called for your death. Whew. These prophets suffered a lot. At least you've got your family pretty much with you if they know the Lord. But, you know, these are supposed to be the priests of the Lord. These are supposed to be those who interceded for the people and presented and stood for God as a testimony of God before the people. And these are his own family who want to kill him. Well, the Lord then gave Jeremiah the solution to his frustration and pain. He was to stop entrusting himself even to his own family. Though they spoke well of him to his face, he was not to trust them. Jeremiah was to protect his mind and heart by no longer trusting those that the Lord revealed were his foes. Now, incidentally, the Lord Jesus himself did this. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning of verse 23, I'll read the next two verses. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself." A better translation, Jesus did not entrust himself. It's the word that is used, pistuo, for belief, but it can also mean to entrust. "Jesus did not entrust himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." So he could read the hearts. And Jesus knew that it was pointless to entrust himself to these people because they were very fickle, they were very unrighteous, and they were going to turn on him in a dime. He knew that. So God graciously told Jeremiah about the plot against his life by his neighbors and even his own family in the priestly city of Anathoth. So he asked for vengeance, and the Lord promised to give it. Meanwhile, to help him deal with his hurt and frustration over being so greatly hated, God told Jeremiah to stop trusting even his family since they were plotting to harm him, that he act independent of him, of them. I put the passage down in John 2, 23 to 25. There's a New Testament passage to the church too in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. It talks about abusive type of people that we would run into in the latter days. And in verse 5, Paul commands Timothy, withdraw yourself or shrink yourself back from them. And the word shrink is in what is known as the middle voice. And when you use the middle voice, it means do it for your own favor. We don't have a middle voice. In English, we only have an active voice and a passive voice. But this is halfway in between, a middle voice, which means for yourself. So, Timothy, for your own sake, for your own welfare, shrink yourself back from people like this. So, if we are persecuted for an upright ministry assignment assigned to us by God, trust him to reveal that we need to know about the persecutors. Trust him righteously to deal with the wrong in his time. And avoid pain and frustration by not trusting our foes. We will weather great hatred if we stay close to God and emotionally independent of persecutors. I could use a bunch of illustrations, but this is way too sensitive a subject to give any illustrations on this. But suffice it to say, when I first started into the pastor 40 years ago, when I would read a passage like this, my reaction was, ooh, Jeremiah, this is so negative, all right? After 40 years later, I look at a passage like this and I value it very highly because, believe it or not, I've had to apply this. And it's such a wonderful thing that the Lord did it. The Lord let his servant know you've got some problems. You've got some people out there that want to kill you. I've had that experience once. Shortly after I came to Nepog here, there was a man who wanted to kill both me and George Smith, who was a pastor of the Methodist Church up the hill. And fortunately, he passed away in a year, so he never did carry that out. But he lived here in New Hartford. he wanted to shoot us, he was going to get his gun and shoot us. A little deranged, but nevertheless, not enough that they could put him in the hospital. George Smith, Reverend George Smith, called me up and says, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, how about you?" "No, I'm all right." So we kind of got a bit of a kick out of it, but nevertheless, we were watching over our shoulder. But Jeremiah had a town of people that not only wanted to kill him, but told him that they would if he wouldn't stop preaching. So it's interesting how God helped this man by letting him know this, and then God gave him advice. Pull back. You keep treating people kindly. You keep treating them respectfully, but don't trust them. If you trust someone who's abusive and the person finds out about it, he'll go ahead and hurt your feelings to control you. So what you want to do is you got to pull back as far as your dependence is concerned. And that way you become immune to whatever they try to do. And you can still minister towards them, but you're not subject to a lot of hurt because you've distanced yourself in your mind from their reach and their control. And only when they get discipled and when they come around with to the Lord can you react and entrust yourself and trust. But you have to be careful not to entrust yourself to someone unless they really are committed to the Lord. Otherwise, you can get crushed.